Get your Catamount questions in now at 802-655-6672 on the Town Fair Tire text line. It's the Cat's Den with Brady Farkas on 101.3 The Game at 1013thegame.com.
What's up, everybody? It is the Cat's Den, 101.3 The Game and 1013thegame.com, your home for Catamount Hoops, and what a place that is to be. Catamounts are dancing once again, and all of Burlington, all of Vermont, all of the Champlain Valley rallying behind them. They vanquished UMBC after losing three straight matchups to the Retrievers. Catamounts beat UMBC 66-49. They punched their ticket to March Madness. Selection Sunday, the show comes up. The team watching at the Alumni House in Burlington, right on campus, and the Cats know they are playing Florida State. Catamounts, a 13 seed, FSU, a 4 seed, West Region matchup in Hartford, close to home. A lot of people are going to go with the team and go on the fan bus from UVM to watch the team. People are going to be watching with us at RJ's. People are going to be listening here on 101.3 The Game. This is awesome. The afternoon was awesome on Saturday, getting the Catamounts to win. The whole day was awesome. We were out at Fan Fest with Sports Saturday. We were there from 8:30 to 10:30. We watched the game. I sat next to Jeff Paul. I sat next to intern Nick. We were there watching it, taking down diligent notes, watching the game, bouncing ideas off each other. It was a ton of fun. And now again, we know that it will culminate with an NCAA tournament game. 802-655-6672. The thing that was the most fun for me on Saturday morning was this. And it was a small thing, but it was very, very prevalent to me that it was important. Ethan O'Day was in the crowd. Remember, 4,000-point scorer for UVM. He's going to join us in about 15 minutes. Darren Payne was there, former sixth man of the year for UVM, a guy who transferred into UVM, remember, was part of that team 2 years ago that went unbeaten in the America East. We saw Kurt Steidel, a four-year player for UVM, 1,000-point scorer, also was on that team. And there were others, other alumni that were older than those guys, guys that I didn't know by facial recognition. The love for this program is real, and it extends from not just the current team members, not just the current support staff, not just the current coaching staff, but the alumni base. And that right there, I think, is one of the most telling parts about how great this program is. Because how often do you hear of people that they graduate their school and there's an immediate disconnect? You fall out of touch. You fall out of favor. You lose interest. You're no longer that supportive of your alma mater. And even if you are, you don't go back. I mean, I've been graduated from college now for 7 years. I've been back to Oswego two times, maybe three, but only one of which was really in an official capacity, one of which I just stayed in for night, stopping on the way to a concert. I mean, I haven't been there long. I haven't been there much. How often do you hear of guys in programs who they don't want to donate? They don't want to give back. When people call me for money from college, I don't donate all that often to them. So there's always, it's normal to have a disconnect once you graduate. You're moving on to the next stage of your life. That's in the rearview mirror. The past is the past. A lot of these guys have played professionally. You'd understand it if there was a disconnect. But there they were. I see Dre Wills at games frequently. A guy who's from the Midwest, from Illinois. He comes to games. I see Darren Payne, a guy who's not from here originally. You see Ethan O'Day, who's from Connecticut. You see Kurt Steidel. Like, these guys are coming back to UVM because the connection is there and the program is growing. And John Becker has done a good job with his staff of keeping the alumni engaged and making them feel like it's their run too, even though they're not here. It was a small thing that I noticed, but it was one of the more powerful things that I noticed. Guys who didn't even play with some of the members on this team were extremely enthusiastic about those guys. You know, sure, some of those guys played with Ernie and some of those guys played with Anthony Lamb, but they didn't all play with Isaiah Moll. They didn't all play with Steph Smith. And there they were sitting in the first couple rows of bleachers at Patrick Gym, coming back, some of them making probably decent-sized trips to get to Patrick Gym. They were there for a Saturday morning, 11 a.m., to see their team punch a ticket to the NCAA tournament. I thought it was powerful. I thought it was a small thing. But it was a small thing, actually, but it was a big takeaway for me, and that was a lot of fun. 802-655-6672. Again, you can get in on the Town Fair Tire text line. at that number, 802-655-6672. We get a message in from Joe in Burlington who says, great win by the Cats. Looking forward to seeing what they can do against FSU. I, too, was there on Saturday, and I thought the crowd energy was great. Joe, I completely agree with you. It was a ton of fun. We have a quick show today. We only go up until 6:30. We got a lot of things going on until 6:30. Benny Shungu is going to join us in about 60 seconds. The Catamounts are traveling today. They are going to get to Hartford. They're going to have a practice tomorrow, and then they're going to play on Thursday at 2 p.m. Remember, you can listen here. 1:30, the pregame show starts. Jake Marsh already, he's with the team en route to Hartford to get to that game. Our intern Nick is going to be there on Thursday morning, so the team will be there later tonight. They will practice tomorrow. We'll have the coverage for you 1:30 on Thursday right here on 101.3 The Game. And we'll be watching 2 o'clock out at RJ's. It's going to be a lot of fun. I mean, great specials. Half-price burgers, $3 select microbrews, $2 PBRs, also $5 Long Island iced teas. And I'm very excited now to go out to the phone line and talk with Benny Shungu, because Benny Shungu is a guy who all of you know. And you know when you listen to the broadcast and you were watching it on ESPN, if you watched it, the first thing that always gets mentioned is that Benny Shungu is from Burlington. He's a Burlington native. He played his high school basketball at Rice. And I know, Benny, I know you guys are in transit, so I won't keep you for that long, but you were a big part of that win. 9 points, played really, really well offensively in the second half against UMBC. Benny Shungu with us here, Catamount sophomore. Benny, how are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Well, not as good as you, I imagine, getting a chance to play in the NCAA tournament. Let's start with this. The win against UMBC, what was the difference on Saturday morning?
Just really playing together at the team, our defense, especially just being in passing lanes and just playing five against the ball, really just trying to make them shoot contested jump shots around the perimeter.
A lot had been made, the fact that they had beaten you three consecutive times. Did that ever weigh on you guys? Was there any pressure on you guys? Did you feel tight at all going up against a team that had had success against you?
Not at all. We knew that from the jump that obviously we lost last year in the championship and two times in the regular season. So we had nothing to lose. It was the championship game. We were going to go out, execute our plan, and play our hardest.
You had 9 points in that win, a number of key moves to the basket, especially in the second half, hit a couple of big jump shots as well. For you personally, offensively, how did you find your rhythm in that second half?
Just letting the game come to me. I wasn't really as aggressive in the first half because I knew Anthony and Steph got it going, so just trying to give something in the second half and was able to execute.
A lot has been made of the narrative about you being the hometown kid, about you being a Burlington native playing your high school ball at Rice. How special is it for you to be able to represent your hometown and now go to the national stage at the NCAA tournament?
It's always special to represent your hometown, play in front of your community, obviously growing up here. So just, you know, a lot of people, and they obviously support me. And so every day I don't take for granted. It's very special.
Has there ever been any pressure on you to be the hometown kid?
Not at all. I love this game, basketball, and I don't ever really play with pressure. I just kind of just play loose and just try to do my best each and every day.
Tell me the story of how you ended up at UVM. You come here as a walk-on, now a scholarship player. You had the red shirt. I would presume that you could have gotten another scholarship to another Division I program, gone Division II, and been an absolute star. Why did you stay at UVM?
I just think it was just the best choice for me. I had other interests from Division I schools. Didn't really have any like offers, but just had interest. But I had offers from Division II. But just when it came down to it, I just knew UVM was the best choice for me. I just knew staying here would go a long way and brighten my future.
You guys are going to get ready to play the number 4 seed in the West region, the Florida State Seminoles, a team that's very, very long, a team that's very, very athletic. When you play a team that's a Power 5 conference, you guys have played Louisville this year, you played Kansas, what are the keys for you guys?
Keys is just staying poised, not turning over the ball, just really trying to make them a one possession on offense type of team, and just obviously they're long and they're athletic, so if we can force them to make contested jump shots, then we'll live with that.
You guys watch the NCAA tournament selection show at the Alumni House on campus. What's it like in that moment when you see your name appear on the screen?
It's a great feeling. It's a great feeling knowing that you got a chance to, well, obviously we're going dancing, so, but we got a chance to make history just perform in the biggest stage of college basketball right there.
The West region was the final bracket that they released, and they were down towards like the last six or seven teams before you guys got announced. I mean, you knew you were dancing, as you said, but when you saw Florida State come up as the four, did you know that was going to be you just based on not that many teams left?
Yeah, we kind of figured it out. That was going to be us. Granted, we would have loved to been in like the sun going to California or not, but close to home right here, our fans are coming, and so we just knew that we had a feeling that we were going to play them. It's going to be great.
We'll get you out of here on this. You mentioned that fans can get a good chance to come out because you guys are going to play in Hartford. How cool is that to only be, you know, a four-hour drive from home?
It was like another home game. Just our support is just off the top, so it's going to be great just seeing everybody, and can't wait to perform.
Well, we look forward to seeing you guys on the floor again Thursday afternoon, 2 p.m. is tip-off, 1:30 is the pregame show right here on 101.3 The Game. Burlington native, Catamount standout guard Ben Shungu with us here on the Cat's Den. Ben, best of luck. Congratulations. We look forward to maybe you guys pulling a couple upsets and us doing this again next week.
That's the plan. That's the plan. Appreciate you.
Yeah, appreciate you as well. There he goes, Benny Shungu. Again, team in transit. Wouldn't keep him for very long on this short show. Appreciate the time Benny could give us as well. So he was great. A lot of people rooting for Ben Shungu. It's really been one of the pleasant surprises. I don't want to say surprise because I this was always in Ben Shungu. One of the pleasant storylines of this season for the local community. It's great to have a local product to rally around. It's great to have a vested interest in going to all the games outside of just whether the team wins or loses. You have someone there that you've followed through with. Kind of like, think about it this way. Why do Major League Baseball fans of the Red Sox, why do they love Mookie Betts? Why do they love Andrew Benintendi? Why do they love Dustin Pedroia? Sure, they're great players. Sure, they've been great players and accomplished great things. They came up through the system. You've been following them forever, and it's great to see that interest that you had in them when they were in single A and double A and triple A validated. It's the same thing with Ben Shungu. You've watched him probably. You heard about him in youth leagues coming up. Hey, there's a pretty good player out in Burlington. Then you see him at Rice, and you see him playing some state title games. And now you see him doing it on the biggest stage, and you're going to see him in the NCAA tournament. That is a great story as well. All right, again, short show. We only go up until 6:30. So we got another guest. I'm going to get to him right now. Let's go out to the TikTok Jewelers guest line to talk with Ethan O'Day. Ethan O'Day is a former Catamount standout. You know him. Guy was a big forward for this team for a number of years. 1,000-point scorer, 500 rebounds, played professionally. You've heard him do some games broadcasting on this station this year with Jake Marsh, and a proud Catamount alum as the team heads back to the NCAA tournament. Ethan, thank you for being with us, man. How are you today?
I'm doing well. How are you doing this morning?
Good. Also, I appreciate you joining us. Let's start with this. You and a slew of other alumni were at Patrick Gym on Saturday morning to see the Cats beat UMBC. Just simply, what was your takeaway from that game?
I mean, it was a lot of fun watching that game. My first experience watching, being a fan of watching that game in person, so that was really cool. A bunch of alumni came. And, you know, it's just like that type of game is so special in the morning at 11 a.m. It's got a cool feel to it. And I thought the Cats just came out, and the defensive intensity really set the tone for the game. Obviously, Lamb was just a monster and then just willed his way in. But really, on the defensive end, that's how they won that game.
One of my biggest takeaways from it was what you said, that there were a ton of alumni there. And I thought about it like this. When I went back to the freshman year of college, when I went back to my high school to watch my old high school play, I was like, oh, these guys aren't as good as us. They're not as good as we were. I was kind of rooting for them to lose so that they didn't so that they weren't better than us. But you guys here at UVM, you guys have all continued to rally around this program, and there's a huge alumni support system. Why is that? How have you guys bought in so much to what these current Cats are doing?
I think it's just, you just want to see the program succeed and excel, and I think it's going to a place where, you know, UVM basketball has really started to take off these last couple of years. You've got a guy, you know, an Anthony Lamb, who's going to go down as one of, you know, the greats that have played here, and he's a really special player to go and watch. I've had a lot of fun watching him, and you have a good balance of guys too. And I think it's also connections the guys have made, like me personally and some of the other guys that are more connected to this group. This is kind of the last group of guys that I played with, and the Duncan brothers and Ernie and Everett, like very good friends of mine, and some of the alum that I was with as well, like. You're good friends with these guys, and you want to see them do well. So it's just fun to live, you know, vicariously through them. after you graduate. So that's, I think that's why it's been the alumni is so strong here.
How great is it that this game was able to be played at home at Patrick Gym? Because it wasn't always the case in the conference. I don't want to bring up bad memories, but I'm pretty sure yeah. I was a fan in the crowd when you guys were the one seed and had to play at Albany, who I think was the four, and Albany won that game. So that it wasn't always this way.
Yeah, it's funny you say that because we were bringing that up. The alumni are just talking about how much of a better system it is, and it's good that the league finally figured it out because that was a flawed system having a higher seed play against a team that probably didn't deserve home court in some situations. So I'm happy the league figured that one out and was able to give the higher seed to the team that deserves it and get the home court advantage.
Back to Anthony Lamb, you mentioned that he just willed the team, and he certainly did. 28 points, hit from outside, got fouled on a couple shots from outside, was good down low. He did everything. What makes him so special?
I think the way he's added to his game over the years. He was obviously a very highly recruited guy and skilled guy coming in. And he's a unique player in the sense that, he's a little bit undersized for height, but he has the strength to be a beast in the America East. And he can bully his way, through any guy in the America East. He's strong enough to do that and skilled enough in the post. But his ability to adjust to his game and really add that outside component, and obviously the three-point shooting is one thing, but the way he's hitting these turnaround jump shots, like for me as a post guy, I could appreciate that. Because he's hitting these tough mid-range turnaround jump shots. I mean, these are like Carmelo Anthony, NBA-level shots. And he has this touch and is able to – he does a great job using the backboard on them, the bank shot, and just – it's almost impossible to guard if at 6'6", and his size fading away in the mid-post. And he's consistently made that shot all year. So that's what – his way to adjust and bring that outside component to his game as a pressman.
Catamount legend Ethan O'Day with us here on the Cats Den, 101.3 The Game and 101.3thegame.com. Catamount's winners of the America East Conference Championship. They'll take on Florida State Thursday, 2 p.m. We'll have it for you here on 101.3 The Game, starting with the pregame show at 1:30. Ethan, as someone who has played against Power 5 conference teams, what is the key early on in a game against a Power 5 team?
You have to have your confidence going early. So that means you can't get in a hole. So shots have to start falling early, and you have to. The good thing is they're going to have a great game plan against these guys because Romano has a tremendous coaching staff, and they're going to have the guys ready to go. Obviously, you play against a team that probably has some more size and more athleticism, but how you beat these guys is you execute a game plan, and you have to be tough defensively and be ready to have different guys thrown at you. Florida State is an extremely deep team that plays like 10 guys from what I've seen in articles I've read of late. They're definitely a tough matchup for the Cats, but a team that doesn't shoot the ball necessarily that well from three. So that's the Cats' advantage because they can obviously get going from behind the arc as well. So I think it's an interesting matchup, and it'll be fun to watch for sure.
I think the biggest... criticism, I guess, is probably too strong, but the biggest negative takeaway on the Cats is that they can be too reliant on Anthony Lamb. You can look up and down the box scores from games and see, okay, Lamb's got 25, someone else has 15, and everybody else has 6. They haven't been able to find that third score consistently. When you play a team that's as athletic as Florida State, are they going to be able to play that way, or do they need someone else to just step up? And someone else that maybe we're not expecting needs to get 15, 20 also.
Yeah, I think I've been saying that all year too. They need that extra guy to kind of step up, and I think that could be a variety of guys. Like Steph Smith has played tremendous as of late. He's an all tournament guy. If he can continue to shoot the ball and be aggressive, I could see it being him. And Ernie really didn't even get to get going in that championship game. Hats off to UMBC. They played them very well defensively. But if it could be one of those guys, Ben Shungu even, that gets going, that would help the Cats out a lot. But at the same time, like you said, it's the criticism for being too reliant on Anthony Lamb. You need that as a mid-major team to have one guy that really kind of puts you on his back and just goes. And he's willing to do that, of course, and expect him to really try to get going, have a big night against Florida State, and then have a few other guys step up, and especially Ernie Duncan as a fifth-year senior, his sense of urgency is going to be there too.
It was pretty obvious against UMBC that obviously that game looked like two teams that knew each other really, really well. UMBC wasn't going to let Ernie Duncan get open threes. They weren't going to let Steph Smith get open threes. When you take on a Power 5 team that doesn't know you that well, does it become a little bit easier for some of those other guys to get their shots off because the opponent doesn't know you as well?
Absolutely. Like, if you think about it, that UMBC team, you know, it's the third time playing them, Odom, a tremendous coach. He's probably looking at film through the past years they've played them too, these same guys. They just know each other so well. And I remember, you know, playing conference games by the second time you even play them, like, it's like everybody has a really good game plan and you know everyone's tendencies. So when you have a fresh look at a team like this, and this is a team that, you know, Florida State, you know, even though the coaching staff will preach not to overlook the Cats, like, these guys may overlook them a bit. You start looking to the next couple games. So that's the Catamounts' advantage as well. These guys won't know the Catamounts' tendencies only through film, and they may overlook them a bit too.
Ethan O'Day, former Catamount, with us here on the Cats Den, 101.3 The Game and 101.3thegame.com. Catamounts Seminoles, Thursday, 2 p.m. pregame show at 1:30. Ethan, we heard you on a bunch of games this year, actually, as the color commentator with Jake Marsh on our station. Do you enjoy being a broadcaster?
Yeah, no, it's been a lot of fun. Jake kind of came to me and asked if I was interested in doing it. And something that if I'm watching the game anyways, I'm kind of putting in my two cents to whoever's listening next to me. So that's how I looked at it. And it's just kind of finding that Jake's a really easy guy to kind of bounce off with. You got to kind of find that chemistry with the guy that you're doing the call with, as you might know. And it's been fun kind of working with him and getting to sit courtside and watch the Cats. So I've enjoyed it.
We spoke about 2.5 years ago, and you had just been taken in the D-League draft at the time. Now it's the G-League, and you were with the Raptors affiliate. Where are you now in your own career?
Yeah, I was, that's right. That was 2 years ago. I remember talking with you. Then I was in Australia right after that. And that was an awesome experience. I played down there in the second league in Australia. I actually played against a lot of former America East guys down there, and Peter Hooley, who played at Albany, and Dyson, who played at Hartford. And that was a great experience. Decided to try to go do the Europe thing after that. The following season, and went out to Germany. And played in their Pro A league, which was their second league, which was awesome too. Very, very tough league in Germany. Germany loves their basketball out there. Came back this summer and was making the decision to continue playing or not, and decided to stay back home for the season. Right now I'm just working in Burlington and adjusting back to life back in the States, and it's been good to be grounded though back in the U.S. It's a tough lifestyle playing overseas. I enjoyed playing for the 2 years a lot though. Something that, you know, once you graduate, it's a great, if you have the opportunity, you should definitely go after and do it. Because you know, the basketball connections that you make with guys, it's a lifelong thing. What I've learned traveling overseas. So it was a great experience. But I'm happy to be home too.
Well, very cool, and a lot of Catamounts over the last couple of graduating classes continuing to play overseas, something that 20 years ago probably no one thought would be the case. It just goes to show you how good this program continues to get and how quick their ascension has been. Ethan O'Day, Catamount legend, 1,000-point scorer, the backbone of several really good Catamount teams. This Catamount team, NCAA tournament on Thursday against Florida State. We'll have it for you at 1:30. Ethan, thank you so much, man. Appreciate it.
Awesome. You're welcome. Take care.
Appreciate it. You too, Ethan O'Day. You can tell the pride, man, and that's what I kind of started the show talking about. You can tell the pride in his voice, in the voice of the alumni when you talk to them. They just are beaming about where this program is at, and we are hoping that pride is enough to continue to will this team to victory on Thursday. Catamount Nation, we need you. We're watching Thursday afternoon, 2 p.m. at RJ's. We will be there for Catamounts and Seminoles, 13-4, looking for an upset Catamounts, one more chance to dance. Come watch it with us in person. Also, the Champlain Valley Auction is going on. You can go to ChamplainValleyAuction.com. Gifts for you, gifts for her, gifts for the family, gifts for your brother, friends, whoever needs gifts, you can get them. ChamplainValleyAuction.com. Great dining options, hotel options, up to 75% off. ChamplainValleyAuction.com. Go Cats, go. We'll see you Thursday at RJ's, everybody. It's 101.3 The Game.